So really enjoying the freshness, the coolness of this meditation hall. I hope you're enjoying too. Is it okay now, the sound? Yeah? Thank you. So metta to all beings, we will continue this exploration of cultivating this heart and mind. And metta to all beings might seem like a high bar. It really includes every being, irrespective of likes and dislikes. Every being, every human and non-human being. But that's where we're heading. We're inclining our intention towards that aspect of boundlessness, unconditionality of metta, excluding no one, no being. And we are cultivating this quality in our own hearts and minds. We're not searching for a result. This is a quality that we're developing in our hearts. As I arrived here at Spirit Rock, I arrived a few days early, and I was speaking to some members of the staff about the time during COVID and how Spirit Rock had to close down, and there were no retreats running. Staff was reduced as well, and there were no yogis going around like you are, up and down the paths and into the buildings. And there were many challenges of those times, but there was also a lot of quiet. And there were no yogis here practicing. And what they noticed is that as the retreats began happening again, there were a lot of animals on the land. There were rattlesnakes and deer, and a lot of animals had occupied the land. There were no yogis, so they have reclaimed the land again. And as the retreats went on, those creatures then receded into other parts of the land. And now this is now clear again of those animals. So practicing this quality of metta can really be seen as this tending to our inner garden as we occupy it more and more with this quality of metta. There is no space for these other creatures to be there. So we're really filling in this space of the heart with metta, like we're filling in the space of Spirit Rock with our practice. So we're always cultivating something in the mind. And we may ask ourselves at different points of the day, different moments, what am I cultivating right now? There's always something that we are cultivating. The sutta that Tueri so beautifully described a few nights ago of the Buddha speaking to his 7-year-old son, Rahula, was about that, checking the mind and seeing what actions of the mind are present, which are skillful, and which ones are present that aren't skillful. And those that are skillful, we want to encourage. So what do we want to encourage and what do we want to relax? So today we're going to explore a little bit more that relaxing of that which is unskillful, relaxing of the clinging, as a way to continue to develop this quality of metta. So this quality of metta is a quality that will naturally lead to the relaxing of the clinging, and it is the relaxing of the clinging that will lead to free our hearts, will lead to freedom from suffering. And how do we notice when clinging is present? How do we notice that the mind has been caught up? We notice it by noticing a contraction in the body, a contraction in consciousness. It becomes more narrow. And one way of releasing that clinging is that of relaxing. And we have been encouraging that during this retreat. Relaxing the contraction, relaxing the body will release the contraction. So that's what we have been emphasizing. And today, in this practice, we're going to explore the quality of spaciousness. Spaciousness of awareness. Spaciousness of awareness to support the development of this quality. Letting that expansion be the one that releases the clinging. And I remember the first time the Buddha taught metta to his monks was when he had sent them off to the forest to meditate. And they went to the forest and they occupied the space under the trees. They chose cozy little spaces in that beautiful forest with beautiful trees. But they didn't realize that they occupied the space that belonged to the creatures that inhabited that forest. And those creatures didn't like them being there. So as they sat in meditation, those creatures appeared to them in very scary ways and caused a lot of fear. So the monks ran away from the forest, went to the Buddha and reported. We were there meditating and there were these monstrous creatures and we're very afraid, full of fear. We cannot meditate there. And the Buddha did not send them off to practice with fear. He gave them instructions for practicing metta. Metta towards all of those creatures. And that's what they did. They went to the forest and practiced metta. And as they practiced that quality of wishing well to those creatures, the fear went away and the creatures started to love them and let them be there and make space for them. So there is this powerful quality of metta to fill the space and fill our hearts with fearlessness. So today we're going to continue to explore practicing with all beings. And we will begin with using the sphere of the body and filling it with the light of loving kindness, and then using the space around us, the expansiveness of the space around us, to irradiate that quality and pervade all the space with that quality of metta. Okay, so let's begin our guided meditation. As with all practices, but especially with metta, finding a comfortable position, finding a comfortable posture, making your body at ease. And sensing the breath in the body. Relaxing into the breath. As the body feels settled, grounded, at ease. Filling the whole body with the breath. And taking in the sense of ease and well-being that comes with connecting with our breath in the whole body. Allowing that ease to settle. And then bringing to mind someone, a being, towards whom it's easy, relatively easy, to send our well-wishing. Ourselves, or a benefactor, or a friend. Beginning where it's easy for us. And as we call this being to mind, remembering their beautiful qualities, and letting our hearts dwell in the appreciation of those qualities. Then beginning to wish them well as we sense their presence, have an image of them. May they be safe and protected. May they be happy. May they be healthy. May they live with ease. Including the whole body. And sensing the resonances of our intentions of well-wishing in the body, in the heart. Sensing the resonances of each phrase. Having a kinesthetic sense of well-wishing coming from our hearts towards ourselves or that being. Continuing to wish them well. Reconnecting with our body, reconnecting with our hearts, and with the meaning of our wishes. May you be safe and protected. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Tuning into the body and feeling any sense of warmth, ease, well-being that might be present. Anywhere in the body. Taking that as goodwill that is present right now, and feeling it in the heart center, letting it spread through the whole body. And allowing it to spread beyond the body. As light that shines through and outwards. Imagining that light extending beyond the body to the beings around us in the room. Bathing those beings with that light of goodwill, of well-wishing. Sharing shining all around us, filling the whole space of the room. Letting all beings in this space be bathed by that light of metta, of goodwill. Then letting that light continue to expand and spread and radiate beyond this room, letting that light bathe the beings outside the Dhamma hall, trees and grass, and all creatures. Letting that expansion, that light be pervaded with well-wishing, reconnecting with good wishes for all these beings being touched by this pervading light of metta. May all these beings be safe and protected. May all these beings be peaceful and at ease. And sensing into the vastness of the space around us, filling that space with our awareness. And feeling that love pervading that whole space. As golden light that irradiates all around the boundless space of awareness. And whenever that space becomes contracted, narrow, reconnecting again with this vast space all around. Including ourselves and all beings, this vast space of awareness. Letting the light pervade the whole space. In all directions, all around, above and below. A light filled with loving kindness, friendliness. Having a sense of the beings that are touched by this light. Terrestrial beings. Aquatic beings. Beings in the air, all beings bathed by this light of loving kindness. Expansive, immeasurable, boundless. As we reconnect with this spacious awareness into the light shining through, noticing it being filled with this warm, bright, golden light. Wishing may all beings be safe and protected. May all beings be happy. May all beings be healthy. May all beings live with ease. Noticing the body in this space too, and the resonances. Of the light that pervades all, including this body. And as we let go of the light, of the space, and gently bring the attention back to the space of the body, noticing any sense of well-being that might be present. Of ease. Of warmth. Letting the breath breathe into that sense of ease. Spaciousness, relaxation. Noticing the resonances in the body. feeling the ground, the earth. Relaxing into the earth. So you might have had a taste, a sense of the perception of love, of loving kindness in the space of awareness as we tune into that quality of spaciousness, aversion, clinging. Is sensed as a contraction, the heart closes, and when the heart is open and spacious, metta is allowed to flow. So opening up the consciousness allows this quality to pervade that space of awareness. So we'll have time for a couple of questions, and if you wish to remain in silence and bow your way out, please do so. And I would like to ask for a volunteer that would be willing. Yes, Aram. Thank you. Okay, would you like to begin? Get us started.
How do I make my metta less effortful? I feel like I'm doing a lot of like scanning of the chest and looking at it in different ways, and all the different ways lead to different kinds and kinds of like flavors and positions of metta. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I have to continuously keep poking and prodding out of my heart. I was just wondering how I can make it less effortful.
Less effortful. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's an important question as we develop the muscle of metta and the practice of metta, there will be a certain amount of effort that is involved. And at the beginning, it might feel like we're getting the engine going, and that takes some effort. So what I hear you saying is that it feels like the attention is around the heart area, and it feels like it gets a little bit contracted.
No, more like I look at it in one way, look at one place in my heart, and that'll have a certain sense of metta, and maybe that'll start to fade. But then if I sort of scan through my chest again, it'll get bigger again. Uh-huh. It feels like I'm always poking and prodding at it to make it stay there.
Okay. And that stay there, what is it that you want to stay there? Is it a particular sensation?
Just like any kind of warm, glowy feeling.
Uh-huh, warm, glowing feeling. Perfect. So that's skillful, noticing what's present and noticing if there is any warmth that we might tune into and kindling it. That's really part of the practice, so that's beautiful. And as we do that, we might also want to explore bringing in a little bit more space into that area, allowing it to relax, and bringing in also a little bit of an ingredient of trust, trusting that with our intention, whatever sense, whether it's very subtle or maybe totally absent, that will, in its own time, find its way to grow, and it will maybe have a different taste than what we had expected. So we might expect it to show in a particular way, and we might be looking for that in particular, and that can show up, but maybe it can show up in other ways. So maybe giving it a little bit of a bigger space of attention might help relax a little bit more the effort, and we're not so taken by wanting to kindle one particular aspect of the metta. Does that make sense? Yeah? Yeah, sounds good. That sensitivity, developing that sensitivity to notice when something is there, and bringing in the conditions and the intentions to grow it. Beautiful. Thank you. Okay. Any other questions? Still have time for a couple more questions. Yes, right there. Malin.
Thank you. So when I move from, say, the benefactor to a neutral person outwards, I find it really nice, like, that it keeps spreading, it keeps kind of growing. And then I find when I get to, say, a neutral person or maybe someone that I have difficulty with, I'll initially be able to feel the sort of metta, the sort of warm glow for that person. And then sometimes a thought might come in and it contracts, right?
About what comes in, sorry?
A thought. About that person or something, like a memory or something like that. And it creates a bit of a contraction and a bit of a difficulty. So what is the skillful thing to do at that point? Is it to drop that person and go to something else, or is it to kind of stay with that?
So there might be different gears depending on how difficult that thought becomes, or the emotions that might come with that thought. Do you find that you're able, as the thought comes, to let it fade into the background?
Yeah, so what I did in that sit was that I just moved on to something else. And then as that grew, I went back to the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that helped.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's one skillful response. Great. And you noticed that worked, right?
Yeah.
So when it's possible to remain with the same being that we have chosen, that will be our first gear. That's what we're, our first choice, let's say. The thought comes, the difficult emotion stirs up. Can we turn back to the intention to continue to cultivate metta towards this person? And the feeling might not be there, but the intention is what we're tuning into. So that's first gear. If that's not possible because the difficulty seems to, the thoughts are insistent, the emotion becomes difficult, then we have different options. One, we might turn towards that difficulty and include that in the metta. So we are including and having that be part of our intention for well-being and including that as well in our space of metta. That's one. And we continue with the same person. The other gear, we drop the person if it really becomes too entangled and go to something easy, to some being which is easier, and then rekindle, and we might spend more time with that other being until we feel we have rekindled and that difficulty has subsided. And then there is another option, which is we drop altogether all beings and hold that difficulty in compassion if it's really very, very strong. So that there's it, and it's an experimentation and seeing what
works.
What
does that mean, hold the difficulty in compassion?
So that means we will introduce compassion the next time that we're guiding metta. That means holding the sense of the difficult with warmth and care and with the wishes for this to be eased. So that's... we're holding as if we're holding a child that is crying and taking care with warmth. And there is a simplicity to that. But just may these, may I hold this difficulty with care and compassion and hope opening up to that difficulty. Yeah.
Thank you.
Welcome. Thank you for the question. Very important aspects of metta practice. Beautiful. Thank you. We have time for one last question. It looks like there's no more questions. So, thank you for your practice of metta. And the encouragement to continue to explore, if you wish, this aspect of metta with the vastness, spacious, big mind, awareness. If you wish, exploring that also in your walking meditation. As you walk, pervading all beings with this quality of the spaciousness and noticing the release of clinging. That's where the freedom is. Noticing the relaxing, noticing the release of the clinging, and how that allows for metta to grow and for the space of awareness to be available to us. So, may your practice continue to be fruitful and joyful and full of metta. Thank you. Thank you, Aaron.